Good evening, everybody, and welcome to lap 7 of season number 2 of Turning Laps with Mr. Smiley, presented by Edmonton International Raceway. This evening's episode features TNA Racing's Todd Beefus. He's driving the number 11 Pure Stock for the 2024 season. But first, I'm going to have some EIR news. The green flag is waving. Turning Laps with Mr. Smiley starts right now. Welcome back, and thank you. Thank you very much for making Turning Laps, Mr. Smiley, presented by Edmonton International Raceway, a successful podcast. I'm going to keep right on going here. During the race season, I do a pre-race show on Friday nights during our test drive program at Edmonton International Raceway. Book yours today at edmontonraceway.com. Ladies night, test drives, we have one scheduled for July the 5th, starting at 6 p.m., you get the one-hour instruction, you get 15 laps around the racetrack, plus 2 general admission tickets to a regular Saturday night event. We also have drinks and appies that will be available after the ladies' night test drives. On April 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Auto Show down in Calgary, we are going to be having a booth down there. Pop by, get your $5, that's right, $5 admission tickets for the opening fan appreciation night event on June the 1st. That's our season opener. We welcome the fans back to the racetrack and with a $5 general admission ticket. You can't beat it, ladies and gentlemen. The best entertainment value around is Edmonton International Raceway. We are NASCAR's only sanctioned track in Western Canada. So we bring you the action of NASCAR every Saturday night from June until September. It's a really fantastic race season. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, our schedule is available and tickets are available for every event at Edmonton International Raceway on the website. That's edmontonraceway.com. I need to welcome some new sponsors for the 2024 season. The winner of Pass the Ketchup all season long, you are going to get a free 20-minute simulator session at Reboot Racing. They have 3 locations for everybody to choose from. They have a location down here in Edmonton at the West Edmonton Mall. They have a second location located in Sherwood Park. The address there is 327 Casca Road. The phone number for the Sherwood Park and Edmonton locations are the same. It's 587-557-2065. And they also have a location up in Fort McMurray, Alberta. Their address at that location is 170 McClelland Crescent. The phone number is 780-972-4044. Welcome on board, Reboot Racing. Reboot Racing, race, crash, and reset. Fizzo Automotive Repair, located here in Wetaskiwin. For all of your auto repair needs, give them a call for a free quote. Their phone number is 780-395-9923 or go to fizzoautomotive.com. S&M Diesel and Mechanical, we want to welcome them as well. They are located in Red Deer. For more information, go to their website. That's at www.snmdiesel.com. The Willow Inn, located in Wetaskiwin. Willow Inn is very close to the racetrack, and this newly renovated facility has 12 rooms. So book your stay today at www.willowinnwetaskiwin.com. Welcome on board. On Monday, July the 1st, Canada Day, come on out to Edmonton International Raceway. We are having a special event. Not only are we going to have a fireworks and a Canada Day celebration, but we are doing something new this season at Edmonton International Raceway. register your car and have fun. We are doing an event called the Leader of the Track. Race your own vehicle for a best time around the racetrack. So it's not really a race. It's more of a time trial. But you get to run your own car on Edmonton International Raceway. Again, go online to our website, edmontonraceway.com, or to our Facebook page, Edmonton INT apostrophe L Raceway, and look up the information on here. It's called Leader of the Track, Race Your Own Vehicle and get the best time around the track. Cash and prizes are going to be won that night. It's going to be spectacular. I can't wait to call the action on Canada Day. If you are looking for a second job or extra income, we are hiring at Edmonton International Raceway. We're looking for people to work Saturday afternoons to the evening hours from June until the end of September. Also, one Friday night we added would be July the 26th. That's our Friday show for the Napa 300 NASCAR Canada Series event. That's night one. And we're also looking for extra people to help us out during the actual NASCAR Canada event, the Napa 300. That's July 27th. We really need extra bodies to help out with that. So if you're interested in coming out and volunteering and working out at Edmonton International Raceway, send your resumes to Loretta at speedway@cyban.net. Calling all mascots. We are looking for mascots to participate in the Edmonton International Raceway's first annual mascot games at Edmonton International Raceway. Your company, school, or club mascot can participate in a variety of fun activities with the potential to win a grand prize donated to your charity of choice. In addition, you have a great opportunity to promote your business, school, or club at the track on Canada Day in 2024 at Edmonton International Raceway. So come and join Ricky Doggy, that's Edmonton International Raceway's mascot, for the first annual mascot games to be held on Canada Day at Edmonton International Raceway. It's going to be a really awesome event. I can't wait to see that one. Our 2024 season schedule is available online at edmontonraceway.com. You can get your tickets on there. You can get season passes on there. You could even get merchandise from Edmonton International Raceway off the website. Again, the website's address is edmontonraceway.com. Stay up to date on all the latest news from Edmonton International Raceway. Go to our Facebook page. It's Edmonton INT apostrophe L Raceway on Facebook. Like and follow the page. That way you could go ahead and you could watch not only the pre-race show that I do on the Friday night, but you could also watch the pre-race show that we do also on Saturday night. Last year, Alan Grimstead, my broadcast colleague up in the announce booth, he did a really awesome job doing big talk with Alan and friends. Hopefully he's going to come back and resume it again. We have VIP tours available at the racetrack. So when you book your ticket, upgrade your ticket. Move on up to our corporate C-cans. You get beautiful theater seating. You're away from the elements. And you get to join Alan and myself on the racetrack prior to the start of the Saturday night's events. We walk around. We do a track tour. We take you into the pits, introduce everybody to some drivers. Then we continue our walk around the racetrack. And this is just prior to when the show gets started. Green flag, as always, drops just after 6 o'clock on Saturday nights, right after we have a live rendition of O Canada. All right, folks, now I'm going to lead right on into our interview segment with TNA Racing's Todd Beefus. Todd drove the number 11, the NASCAR Pure Stock last year. He's going to be right back at it again in 2024, joined by his son, Abel, who's going to also be driving the number 2 in the Pure Stock division. Now, last couple of seasons, Abel did his rookie season a couple of years back. He drove the number 2 in the future stock. Last year, he was also in the future stock. But this year, he's moving right on up. This is going to be a really, really, really awesome season for both of them to be out on the track together. This will be the first time that we've actually seen both father and son on the track at the same time. Let's see if they could work the magic like Jeremy and Lucas Belbeck did as well, because there was a father-son team last year in the pure stock, so now we're going to have another father-son team in the pure stock this year with TNA Racing's Todd and Abel Beefus. Ladies and gentlemen, Todd Beefus. Good evening, Todd. Welcome to the show. How's your day been so far?
It's been very nice. A little bit of spring snow to delay race season, golf season, all of the fun stuff. But hey, we need some moisture, so it happens.
That we definitely do. Golf season. So which one is your favorite, race season or golf season?
Well, they're the same season, but I would have to say golf is my passion. It's the best thing about golf. There's nobody to blame but yourself, and that's probably the most difficult thing about the sport is it's the same weather, the same course for your opponents. You can take it as serious as you want or as fun as you want, but if you want to get good, it takes a lot of effort, and it's damn frustrating.
It can be. That's why I no longer play golf. My frustration level was way too out to lunch, so I'm like, no, forget it. That's it for me. My true passion has been racing, always has been, always will be. But at least you got bit by the racing bug, because you hopped in the race car yourself after a couple of seasons working with Abel, and then you did your own thing. So what did you think about hopping in your own car and turning laps, as we say?
Yeah, it was, well, I figured, man, if I'm out there every Saturday with the kid, I might as well have some fun too, rather than just sitting in the pits. And it's a blast, man. It's only a little four cylinder front wheel drive car at the moment, but it's a lot of fun going around the track in circles as quick as you can. And the odd little bump every once in a while, sometimes on purpose, sometimes by accident, but it's enjoyable.
Glad to hear it. It's an adrenaline rush too, right?
Oh yeah. When you come out of corner three into four and you go, crap, I sure hope that wall is soft or I don't hit it. Or hopefully that tire starts to grab because I'm getting close. And keep the pedal down just in case you actually make it and keep going.
Yeah. I'm just looking over last season's standings here before you and I joined up for tonight. I noticed and remembered from the banquet in October, you got third last year in 2023.
A blind squirrel gets an acorn every once in a while is kind of what I say. And you know, I got lucky, had some issues, blew up an engine in one of the races and got lucky to find another car and rebuild it real quick. And, you know, some of the other people around me had some issues with cars as well, and just a consistent season. I didn't win anything. I, you know, hardly ever hit on the podium, but just had a good first season. Yeah, a lot of fun.
You did have some podium finishes though last season.
I
think you had a couple of them.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit more.
Well, no wins though. No first place, and so if you're not first, you might be last.
At least you weren't last.
Yeah. That's very true.
That's true. Also, I believe you were also named crew chief of the year last year as well.
Yeah, that was a nice honor. I think mostly for working with Abel, who won the future stock division in his second year of racing. So, you know, I'm not mechanical by any means, being an accountant by trade, but I was able to pick up a few things and had some really really good help from some of the other crew around me and some friends out there to help get able to his win and just my work as well in my car.
Right. And I was going to bring up Abel, but you already did. But yes, he did win the championship in the future stocks last year for his only second year racing. Yeah. How did that make you personally feel?
Oh, great. Because Abel is not much of a sports guy per se. You know, I have a passion for hockey and golf and stuff like that, and that's not him. And yeah, he's taken to racing, and he's I guess somebody likes adrenaline type sports, motorbiking, snowmobiling, now car racing, and Yeah, so it's always good to see your kid do well, and especially having fun and enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great feeling.
And last season, you guys actually formed a race team called T&A Racing, and bright orange colors.
Yeah, bright orange.
I saw the orange, the bright orange T-shirts of the family and your fans all up in the stands last season. Are you going to bring some of your merchandise out to the racetrack this year and start selling it out there?
Yeah, I just saw that, and you know, I there's a very good chance that I will build some or get some more shirts made up and just throw out there because, hey, who doesn't like the color orange? I'll get the haters. Yes, the BC Lions. Pretty good. The CFL, maybe not in this area of the world, but hey, orange, and the Oilers, orange. So, you know, orange is my favorite color. Maybe that's why the cars are orange. And T&A is just a play on our initials. And, so I just thought it'd be kind of fun to have.
Oh yeah, no, it worked. As soon as I saw your announcement for that, I'm like, oh, that's perfect. I love the play on the name and that. So it worked really good. So
with the cow bull logo there for Beef Ass. You know, so it's just a little play.
Oh yeah, no, it was really good, definitely. All right, so enough talk about last year's season at EIR. Let's move right on over to 2024. How's this season shaping up for you and Abel? Now, I know Abel is moving up into the pure stocks this year, and he's going to drive the number two. What cars are you going to be driving, though? What make and model?
So he's going to stay in his 2008, 2006, 2000, I think 2006 Cobalt.
Okay.
Keep him in that car. He started racing it at the end of last year when after he blew the engine in his Cavalier. So we're just going to tweak that car a little bit, work on some of the performance of it, and he's going to be continuing to race that car.
And yours was the number 11 Mazda, right?
Well, I started out as the number 11 Mazda until it decided to blow the engine partway through last year. And then, then when I built the Cobalt for myself, and I raced that one night last year, and that same night Abel blew the engine in his Cavalier. And so then I gave him the Cobalt, and I got myself a 2010 Dodge Avenger now.
Right, okay.
Dodge out there.
That's right. It is the only Dodge that's out there.
Yeah. So well, kind of an ugly big beast, but it gets around the track.
Yes, sir. So what's it going to be like when you're racing with Abel? I mean, you guys are going to be in the same class. You may be separated during the heat races, but during that feature event, you guys are going to be on the track at the exact same time.
I'm looking forward to it, man, because that's going to be the most fun. Other than, I would put money on it, he'll take me out before I would take him out. And he'll race me harder than I'll race him. I'm not going to let him by. I'm not going to give him the lane or that corner by any means. He's going to have to work for it. But I think if there's a chance for him to spin me, I might be going in a circle.
So out of the two of you, Abel is much more competitive than you are?
No, I think I'm probably more competitive, but okay. I'm probably more respectful. Because I know the cost of what it's going to take to fix it and the time it's going to take to fix it.
Right. So is Abel at least helping out in the shop with all the shop preparation and everything, getting the car installed ready?
Yeah, he does a little bit of it. Yeah, it's a learning experience. He's probably more mechanical than I am.
Okay.
So we're working on it together. But I also think he's a more aggressive driver than I am. Probably being the younger, you know, old bones don't recover quite as easy as a 16-year-old kid's bone. So when he hits the wall, he can bounce back. When I hit the wall, it's going to be a little more painful.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. Oh, man, I had a question for you, and it just went poof right out of my head. It's like, oh, no. But I'm sure it'll definitely.
It's not about Abel hitting the wall during practice in his first year racing, was it?
Oh, that was, how did that, yeah. Not a very good experience for him. And that was only like the shakedown test.
Yeah, that was testing tune. Yeah, first time we're out on the track, hit that. Decided to be three wide in the corner and on the outside. And I've always figured if you're going to be three wide, make sure that you're the middle car or the inside car, so you got some room to slide and you got some padding. But, we got into it mostly because Abel didn't really want to do hockey anymore. And my wife's like, well, we got to get him into something. And it was actually my wife that said, hey, let's get him into car racing. And, you know, most people would say, well, what does your wife think about having your, 13, 14 year old kid out there and driving a race car? And it's like, well, her idea, I'm not going to say no to that. Like, come on, huh? It was actually my wife's idea to get him into it. And as I said, if I'm out there with him, I might as well be driving too. And I'm now toying with maybe getting a race a wreck or something like that. Just something else to drive. Have some fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. We'll see.
And race a wreck is a little bit different. I mean, you can't make any adjustments to the car. The only thing you could do is just play with your tire pressures, and that's it. Right.
Yeah. Well, it has to be easier than the driving the Stacker the one time last year.
Oh, yes. I remember you were up in the Stacker. What did you think of that?
Well, it was all fine and dandy until Mike Ram decided to clip our back corner, and I almost swooped my pants because I thought we were going over. But, it was a neat experience of, turning the wheel but not having any control on any of the pedals. I don't know if I'd want pedal control, though. It's more important down there.
I've only been in the Stacker, turned laps in the Stacker just a few times, and I'm telling you, what a blast it was.
It's exhilarating up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was the pedal guy.
Oh, your pedals.
That was the pedal guy. The only other time that I actually got a chance to drive the Stacker was when Dave Pattison was taking his Stacker home and they needed somebody up front or up top as the wheelman. And I'm like looking down. I'm like, ay, 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 ay.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling going into a corner going, wonder what line what speed are we going and what line should we take? So take your other foot and pound on the floor and hopefully he figures it out to slow down or speed up, one of the two.
Yeah, that's where you work out your system before you guys hop into the car. That way you can have it all straightened out.
I wasn't smart enough to do that. So we just, you want to drive a Stacker? I hummed and hawed it and almost chicked. Okay, fine, I'll do it. And yeah, we didn't really have any conversation about one hit is speed up and two is go faster. I don't know, maybe heard me screaming, but.
And who was your partner when you were driving that again?
Mike Sawyer.
Mr. Sawyer.
On the pedals, yeah.
Well, at least it was a learning lesson. So if you do decide to hop in the Stacker with Mike again this year, you at least could work out a system beforehand.
Well, hopefully we're smarter, yeah.
So what does your wife actually think now that both of you guys are going to be racing in the same class in 2024?
Yeah, she enjoys it. And the cool part is my oldest son, Kyan, who just turned 18, he loves coming out to cheer for his brother and cheer for me. And he's mentally challenged. And so when he was younger, man, going to a parade and any sort of horn or noise or crowd like that was terrifying for him and almost impossible to go as a family. And now he loves going to the track every weekend to cheer for his brother and hopefully cheer for me. He has a great time just as much as ever being out there with all the fans. So it's a great, I think it's a really good family night for our family to go out there and spend the time with Abel in the pits and driving and then Kyan with his mom and grandma and grandpa in the stands and, yeah, and then after and stuff like that. It's a good event for us.
It's a total family environment at the racetrack.
Yep.
Like, not only up in the grandstands, and you need your family support being a racer. I mean, you're your family is your number one support system right there. But is it going to be a house divided with the family cheering? Are they going to be more for Abel, or are they going to be more for you, or are they going to be split right down the middle?
Oh, I'm going to guess I'll be taking a back seat. Yeah, they'll be cheering for Abel more so than me. Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I'm a big boy. I'm kind of cheering for him as well. I'll make him. I'm hoping to finish above him in the standings. But if he beats me, I will gladly know that he had to earn it.
Yeah, you're not going to give it to him easily. As you were mentioned a little bit earlier, you said you want to pass me? I'm going to make you work for it.
No question about that. There's limited friendship on the racetrack.
Definitely. And leading on into something here, who's been your biggest rival from last season?
I don't know if I really had any rival. Probably the best racing I had was against Tyrell Brenneman. But, you know, also good friends with the Belbeck crew and Roundtable Racing. Racing around Jeremy and Lucas was always fun, too, because I knew I could be a little bit more aggressive around them and just have some fun, and we knew we weren't going to get into too many squabbles.
It's funny you mentioned Tyrell, because him and Jeremy definitely were going back and forth last year with having
there were some conversations and some flags thrown.
Excuse me. Yeah, but you're right about that. Yeah, the flags flown, and there was definitely some conversations, probably with some colorful metaphors being used down in the pits during those conversations.
Hi, how are you? Yeah. How was the race?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm when I'm on the golf course, or you know, dealing with myself, or a lot of team sports. If I look back when I was in my younger days, I was probably the a-hole, extremely aggressive and trying to win at all costs. And for whatever reason, I've matured slightly. And on the golf course, I'm still really competitive because it's all just internal, and I don't really care what anybody else shoots. But on the racetrack, I want to win, but I'm not going to try to crash my car or crash you to make sure that you don't win. And so I'm fairly respectful out there, I think, but maybe that'll change as time goes on.
You never know. The more you get more comfortable behind the wheel and everything, your aggressiveness will come naturally, right?
We'll get there. especially if my kid's beating me.
How is this possible? He's in the lead now. I gotta go and get him.
Exactly.
Did Abel ask you for any advice during his first couple of years? I mean, you crewed for that first year. The second year, you split your duties between crew chiefing duties and mentoring him to hopping into your own car. Did he actually lean on you a little bit in that mentorship?
Not really, no. And he's not really the type to come to me for that input. And I've always found with both my kids, they would listen to advice from others more so than me. So I had them walk the track a couple of times with Mitchell Bushnell to help talk about lines and aggressiveness and how to do various things. Kent and Brad Brooks from BKB Racing have been awfully kind to Abel and I, assisting with some cars and talking about some strategies of driving and how different cars will react and what to do in different situations. So I've been kind of pushing off any of that. I only raced once. Why is he going to come to me for advice on racing? So I've been more relying upon some of the other friends at the track to mentor him and give him some guidance on lines and just how to drive and how to win. So I'm not the one for him to come to for help on racing.
And he won a few races last year as well.
Yeah, he did very well, very, very well.
So what's your race day like on Saturdays now that you have two vehicles, and you're an avid golfer. So explain to everybody what a race day for TNA Racing is all about.
It's different for the T than the A, because the A of Abel sleeps in till probably about noon and then wanders up with a messy hair and maybe has a little bit of bite to eat. But me being the golfer, I got a standing 8 o'clock tee time at Montgomery Glen here in town. So I'm up fairly early, get up, go hit some balls, play around a golf, or get up. Friday night is when it actually starts. Make sure one of the cars is loaded on the trailer, backed into the shop. And then Saturday morning, get up, hook up the trailer, head to the golf course, pull in a car, play around a golf, run to the track, drop the car, drive back home. Thank goodness I'm only about 10 minutes away, and load up the second car, make sure Abel is up, and pack the cooler and have some lunch and try to get back to the track as quick as possible. So it's an all-day event because, you know, I'm up at 6:37 and what, we get home 10:30-ish at most Saturday night. So it's a long day of especially during the summer when it's 25, 30 degrees. It's a long day in the sun with limited shade, but I really look forward to Saturdays. Sundays don't do a whole lot, but Saturdays are nice and busy and lots of fun.
Sunday's recuperation day.
Yes. Yep. So and most Sundays actually after breakfast, I got to go back to the track and get the second car and bring it home.
So where do you see yourself in TNA Racing in the next few years at Edmonton International Raceway? What's your future goals in racing?
I'd like to see Abel and at least Abel move up to Thunder Cars, and keep advancing that. You know, he'll be entering grade 11 next year, so I guess he's home for two more summers, and I don't know what his plans will be after high school, so I don't know if I'll be able to keep him racing with me. I'm hoping to race even if he's not there. And you know, do I see myself moving up to Thunder Cars or Lates or something like that? You never know. We'll see if I can learn to drive a car even better. just keep going out there and having fun. You know, that's kind of the main thing. Try to win, but just drive the orange car with pride and have some fun.
Most definitely. Well, you've already got one championship for the racing team under the belt, that's for sure, with Abel's future stock championship from 2023. Maybe in 2024, one of you will be up on the podium in the pure stock.
Yeah, you never know. We can try.
You can try.
Yeah, do our best.
Well, it would be pretty cool to have TNA Racing go 1-2 in the season.
It would be. Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
We have an event coming up on Saturday, July the 20th, 2024. The Fragile X Research Foundation of Canada. We're doing a fundraiser at Edmonton International Raceway. You are head of the chair of the Fragile X Research Foundation?
I'm not that important. I'm the treasurer on the board. I'm not the El Presidente. I just look after the numbers side of it after.
Being an accountant, you'd be the perfect one to be.
makes a little more sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Can you let everybody know? I know what Fragile X is about because I was exposed to it from a friend of mine in Ontario. Can you let the people out there and all the fans know what Fragile X is all about and what we are trying to do at Edmonton International Raceway with this fundraising event?
Yeah, so Fragile X, and to be honest with you, Kevin, that's cool that you've heard of it because, you know, most people haven't. I certainly never did until we found out Kyan has Fragile X. And so Fragile X is a genetic disorder. So it's a break in the X chromosome, and some proteins are missing in that. And that's why when they first discovered it, looking at the X chromosome under the microscopes, there was just nothing there, a black hole. And that's why they called it Fragile X. So it's on that X chromosome. Weirdly enough, it is the one of the most common genetic disorders in the world, of which nobody's heard about it. Mm-hmm. But it is one of the most common. It affects about 1 in 4,000 males, I think the stat is. I haven't looked at that lately. And it's truly genetic. It's in the family or it's not in the family. It's generational skipping. It can stay mutated and hidden for many, many generations. And then for whatever reason, it hits more. And there's different what they call repeats. And so then there's different severities. And there's a correlation of Fragile X to autism, but not there's no cause and effect of it. Right. So if you have autism, doesn't mean you have Fragile X and vice versa. Some people are fragile, do have Fragile X syndrome and they're autistic, but there's no real correlation. There's a correlation, but there's no, you know, specific reason for it. So when Kyan was born, you know, he just wasn't hitting those marks. And so then we had him tested for autism and the answer was no. And the pediatrician's like, well, we should just do this one blood test. And when, you know, it came back that he did have enough of the repeats and he does have Fragile X syndrome. So, you know, for our family, it was a big change and a bit of a huge unknown because nobody in the family knew this was in the genetic traits of the families. And so, you know, as I said earlier, Kyan was, you know, there was a number of hurdles that we had to overcome, and he's a fantastic kid, and he's graduating high school this year. As you know, doesn't always take all the, you know, usual courses, but he's hitting some of those marks and turned 18, and he's a fantastic kid. Loves coming out to the track to cheer us on. And so, you know, with me being on the board now and really trying to, you know, we're trying to build awareness of Fragile X. And so July 20th, we're going to have a fundraiser, basically not necessarily sponsored by my wife and I, but we're the driver of it. And so we're going to be selling tickets, gets you the entry into the racetrack, gets you a burger, pop, some fries, a little meal there. And then we're also going to have some silent auction items. We're going to run a 50-50 joint with Inclusion Wetaskiwin. Okay. And the ticket proceeds, net of a little bit of the cost, is all going to go back to Fragile X. So we are selling the tickets slightly higher than if you just came to the door. But as I said, you're going to get some food. And that extra little bit of money is going to the foundation for advancing the projects of the foundation. So right now, some of our main things we do is we help fund research projects in Canada and in the U.S. in conjunction with an entity called FRAXA, which is a Fragile X Foundation research foundation out of the United States. And actually Kyan was and is currently still under one of the medical trials here running in Canada just to test a drug to see how it if it can advance a few things in his life. And so that's some of the things that we do with the money raised is to provide doctors research funding to try to advance it. And not necessarily if we'll ever find a cure, but And the reason it's going to be tough is, like autism, Fragile X will hit different people differently. Some unfortunate Fragile Xers are mute. They never talk. Some, you know, are there's more muscular issues. And, you know, some are brilliant, right? Like Rain Man, you know. And so there's that broad spectrum of people with Fragile X, just like autism. And so, you know, just being on the board, my wife and I wanted to do something to give back to the foundation. And with Abel and I racing and Kyan really enjoy racing, we just thought it'd be a fun little event to get family, friends, and business associates and as many people we can to the track to to raise some funds. And the other reason why we picked July 20th, as long as I'm not incorrect, I believe it's July 22nd, is known as World Fragile X Day. And so if you do notice on that day, many of the world's well-known buildings, bridges, that things, they're lit up typically in teal. And I know in Canada, we have lit up CN Tower, Niagara Falls in teal, which is the Fragile X color. And so that's why we kind of picked that that weekend, because it's closest to Fragile X Day.
Perfect day.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Day.
Now, but, I'm hoping we get tons of people. I'm going to encourage everybody to wear orange just to support our team and see how many people can get in the stands.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, I've noticed on some of the Facebook posts that Kyan does a lot of work with his hands. He's very, he's into like crafts, and he makes a lot of things and that. Is he going to have some of his work out at the racetrack during that day?
He's supposed to. He's supposed to. So, you know, when he was younger, we're trying to figure out, well, how do you teach somebody that can't read? How do you get them and can't, you know, struggles with math, struggles with printing? How can we start to teach him numbers? How can we start to teach him words? And as most families and kids, Uno is a big hit in our household, still is. I think we probably have 10, 12 different versions of Uno. And there's a new one out where there's actually a plus 10. It's a real terrible card to get played upon. So it's fun. So we started out with that, and then we got hooked up into a game called Sticks with playing cards, and it's kind of like Gin Rummy or Rummy and stuff like that. So started playing those types of games again with kind with numbers, reading words, the suits. And so he really, really likes that game. And then even before kids, we got onto a game called, we just called it Marbles. It's a lot like Sorry or Trouble like that. But it's with playing cards, and we typically, it was eight person, four couples, guys against girls. Never had to sleep on the couch after one of the nights, but it was close. again, that competitive nature comes into play every once in a while. So, as we started playing these games as a family, we're like, well, what can we do with Kyan? And so I think it was 2 years ago, he started making some of these marble boards and selling them. And I think he's made 40 plus marble boards now and selling them. And again, keeping a little bit of money for himself, nothing wrong with that. And then also donating, I think it's $15 per marble board was going back to the Fragile X Foundation. Nice. To give back like that. And we called his little business, I think it was called Imperfectly Perfect by Kyan or something like that, or I can't remember the exact word. So yes, currently in the shop here, I think we have, what do we got over there, 15 plus marble boards started that we will have, and he will have finished to sell there. And then we'll probably have some Sticks games made by him to sell at that night, as well as some things at the silent auction, just to, you know, again, a little bit of job for him, because sometimes with kids and you know, once they're out of school, what do they do with their life if they, you know, for some of these, I guess we'll call them adults now, with disabilities, you know, that aren't maybe going to post-secondary or trade school or anything like that, and can't, I guess, maybe struggle to find full-time employment. My wife and I are just thinking, what can we do to have him do something, raise a little bit of money for himself? He really enjoys doing stuff like that.
And he also loves being out at the racetrack as well. I see him in the stands, and he's really he's one of the most excited people on race day. The enthusiasm, the energy, it's contagious. Yeah, is all I can say.
Yeah, he gets very excited out there and really, really enjoys himself.
Oh yeah, especially if Abel crosses the finish line first, he's just all, oh yeah, he's just like Mike Ram's mother. Whenever she wins, the way she gets going and everything, he's virtually the same up there in the stands and that. So it's a pleasure to have him out there. And, you know, just to be, have his presence there is just fantastic.
Yeah. And that's one of the things my wife and I, you know, and my wife was hugely behind it, was as he was coming up through school, you know, not being in a segregated class. He needed to be in the regular classroom with all the other kids. Yeah, he can't do all of the stuff, but is as much as it's important for him to be around, I'll say, typical kids, because there's, I don't know what is a normal kid anymore. I always say a typical kid. And it's even more important for a typical kid to be around somebody with a learning disability like Kyan, because they're not sheltered anymore. They're not hidden in the basements like they were in the older days. And God, thank goodness that never, that shouldn't happen anymore. And Kyan is probably the most loving, caring person out there. Like, he's so empathetic, and it's so important that a typical person gets to meet somebody like Kyan and understand. Yes. Can they read? No. Can he memorize words? Yes. Can he do math? Very basic math. But he can give you so much back that it's so important to be around people like that. And so, yeah, big push to always make sure that no matter somebody's ability, to be included in whatever they want to be included in.
Perfect. Yeah. You can't get any better than that.
There's another guy, boy out there that is autistic that also drives a race car. And I don't even know if you know that one.
No, I don't.
Yeah. He started driving one of the Mini Cup cars. And he has an autistic diagnosis as well.
Well, there you go. So we're an all-inclusive sport, ladies and gentlemen, from the fans all the way down to the drivers.
Yeah. It's which is good, right? It's that broad spectrum of abilities and disabilities that people have, no matter what their official diagnosis is. Just because somebody's diagnosed with autism or fragile X or this or that doesn't mean you can't do something. That's modify true. It, figure out how you can do it, and get involved. That's the main thing.
That's right. Now I'm going to put this question to you. Has Kyan ever said he would like to get into a race car, even though he may not be able to drive, but would he like to maybe do a ride along just to see what dad and little brother are feeling behind the wheel of a race car?
I don't think so. He's never asked. Growing up, it was when he was probably from age 4, I guess, to about age 12, almost every night we'd have to go for a quad ride. So we live out on a farm, and when he'd come home from school, we had to go for a quad ride around the farm and in the mud and take the dogs for a run. And he had a gay old time running and doing all of that. Then he got kind of big to be sitting in front of me. I couldn't reach the handlebars around him. And I guess he didn't enjoy riding the back. And so, yeah, that sort of has stopped. And I've never been able to convince him to hop on the snowmobile with me or his brother. He owns his own gator, John Deere gator, that he drives around the farm all the time. So he does that. And when he goes golfing, he golfs during the summer 3-4 times a week with grandpa, and sometimes with me when I get invited. And so when they go, he has to drive the golf cart. And so he, you know, he can drive, but he's never expressed the interest in hopping in with me. But right now it's no.
Right now it's no.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try, and I was going to talk to Loretta, because we are going to try to invite some other families with kids with Fragile X that we know. And we do want to, even though it may not be their birthday, we were hoping to get permission to have them come down either during the birthday rides and stuff like that, to hop in some of the cars. Because I know there are some kids. I know one boy with Fragile X that I'm pretty sure he's going to want to hop in the car. And I got to be clear, Kevin, it's Fragile X. Girls have 2X chromosomes. So Fragile X hits women and girls also. They just don't have, the symptoms typically aren't as strong. because they have another X chromosome to help cover the other chromosome, the X chromosome that has the issues. It hits boys a lot stronger because, we have the Y. So when our X is a little bit broken, we don't have anything to cover that up. Because the one family I know actually has a son with Fragile X, a daughter with Fragile X, and then a daughter with the typical. And they've also seen that experience, that the one good X will help cover off the troublesome X in the chromosome. So no, it hits females as well.
That's one thing I did not know. Thank you for enlightening me on that. So it's not just male dominant, even though we see more males with Fragile X.
Actually, and I don't even think we see more males with Fragile X. We just see the symptoms of it stronger. We see the symptoms because it's not because it's more prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just out there more because we don't have the other X to help us out.
Now I understand. I understand.
You're a couple years older than me. Biology was even longer back, biology 20 and 30 for you than it was for me. So, and some of this stuff, man, I, when we got the diagnosis, what the hell is Fragile X? What do you mean it's genetic? We don't have any in our family that has autism or anything like this. And then it's like, oh, genetic, you know, then you got it. We only traced it back one generation. Because going back, well, whatever. But what we did for our family is we figured out how it transfers and how it potentially could affect cousins and siblings. And just, you know, so again, not all families are willing to share, but we actually told all of the family fairly quickly that we've just discovered this is in the family, so that if, you know, you haven't had a child, not that this should stop you, but be aware that we now know this is in the family trait. This could affect you. Again, just for information's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's generation, it's straight off the chromosomes. So, yeah.
And has anybody in the family come back to you and said, well, thank you for giving us the heads up, because now so-and-so in the family has been diagnosed with it, or they're just keeping an eye out?
Yeah, and we haven't had any that I know of, any other diagnosis in my wife's family from siblings or cousins or anything like that. No.
Okay. Again,
I don't know how it works behind the scenes. All I know is genetics, and it happens. And, you know, it did cause some people to say, maybe that why, you know, when they think back to their aunts and uncles, stuff like that, well, maybe that person did have Fragile X, but it wasn't diagnosed, because they didn't start diagnosing people with Fragile X till I think the late 80s, early 90s is kind of when it got diagnosed.
Yeah, so, I didn't hear about it until the 90s, because that's when I left Ontario the first time to come out west to Alberta. And my buddy was running the Midas muffler shop in Cornwall, Ontario, prior to myself leaving, and it was his son with it. And so that was like 94. Yeah, 94 when I left Ontario.
Yeah. So that's cool that you've heard about it, though, because we just needed more prevalent, more out there, and more accepted. Society needs to accept these people more than we do.
Yes, absolutely, they do, for sure, 100%, 100,000,000%. I totally agree with that.
So just trying to do our part.
Yep. And that you're definitely doing. Mark your dates on the calendars, everybody. That's July 20th here at Edmonton International Raceway. I look forward to seeing you definitely out at the racetrack, and maybe I'll have a nice little chat with Kyan when I see him out there.
Hey, if you can get him to chat or talk, it'd be good, because if you're around him enough, and once he gets comfortable, he'll talk. But other than that, he's pretty quiet. Like if you came up to him and you said hi, he'd probably say hi. But if you asked him a question, 99% chance he'll just ignore you.
Well, but maybe I'll start working on him throughout the race season from opening day.
Working on him. And it'll take a while, but when he gets there, he will, man, when I go on a plane with him, I don't want to sit with him because he doesn't shut up. He talks and talks and talks and asks questions. And it's like, does the pilot know where to go, Dad? Yes, kind of. The pilot knows where to go. 5 minutes later, or the pilot know, Dad? Yes, kind of. Pilot know. And then when you land, pilot did good landing. Pilot know where to go. Yes, guy. And he has a great sense of humor because every morning when he gets up, good morning, old lady, to his mom. Every morning. He always calls me Todd. He rarely calls me Dad. But his mom's the old lady. And he loves humor. His favorite show is Whose Line Is It Anyways? Colin Mochrie and Ryan Stiles and those guys. He loves humor.
Right on.
We'll see you shortly. That the track will be open shortly for some test drives.
Most definitely. I'll be there.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks, my friend. You have a great night.
You too.
Take care. Bye. Right. Thanks a lot, Todd. Very good information that you've given here about Fragile X. I look forward to being a part of that fundraising event at Edmonton International Raceway. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, save the dates. Mark it down on your calendar. Saturday, July 20th. Todd's already explained what Fragile X is all about, and all the proceeds that we're raising that day are going to go to the Fragile X Research Foundation of Canada. Come on out, everybody, and support this fantastic, fantastic cause. And now the Black Flag disclaimer. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are mine and the guests appearing on Turning Laps with Mr. Smiley and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Edmonton International Raceway, also known as EIR, EIR sponsors, racers, NASCAR, NASCAR Canada Series, and their affiliate sponsors. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes and entertainment only. The Turning Laps with Mr. Smiley name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service. And now the show's over, and that means the checkered flag is out waving. So thank you once again to Todd Beefus from TNA Racing. Also, a huge thank you to you, the listeners and fans. Don't forget to like and share the podcast. Stay tuned for the next Turning Laps with Mr. Smiley, presented by Edmonton International Raceway. Until the next episode drops, keep smiling, everybody.
To purchase tickets for the Fragile X fundraiser, email fxracefundraiser@gmail.com. That's fxracefundraiser@gmail.com. Get your NASCAR Canada Series NAPA 300 tickets now at www.edmontonraceway.com. EIR season schedule tickets and test drive packages are available now at www.edmontonraceway.com.